All right, we're beginning here on the new Masechet, Masechet Shavuot. Masechet Shavuot is part of Seder Nezikin, as well as coming after Sanhedrin and Makot, because it's part of the protocol of Beit Din. And so we have in here Shavuot that are connected to issues of Beit Din. They're not found in the beginning of the Masechta, but rather at the tail end of the Masechta. And that is the Shavuot Ha'idut, which is a shvua taken by Edim denying that they have knowledge of any testimony. So that can get them into trouble, because if they are lying when they take such a shvua, then they will be held accountable for that. That does bring up the question, which the Rishonim ponder, as to whether there is a mitzvah of Edut separately. Is there actually an obligation to testify? Or you can't take a shvua to deny testimony, but you have no obligation to testify. Then we have other shvuot that are associated with Beit Din. We have shvuat ha-pikadon, shvuat ha-dayanim, and shvuat ha-shomrim. All of these shvuot have to do with cases or issues that come up before the Beit Din. And through, truthfully, the associative property, we end up with a lot of issues being brought up here. It really follows what's found in Vayikra Hey. In Vayikra Hey, we have a korban ole v'yored, which is a korban that is brought for someone who, first of all, takes a shvuat ha'idut, takes a shvuat denying that they have any testimony, and they're found to be lying. In there are also three other issues that get the korban ole v'yored, one of which is shvuat ha'bitui, which brings in why that's found here and not in Masechet Nedarim. Shvuat ha'bitui is very similar to a neder. It's a shvuat that a person takes to obligate themselves to do something, whether that's in the positive or negative construct, whether they will do something or they won't do something. It also has application in the past, a shvua that they didn't do something, or some shvua that they did do something. That is known as shvuat ha-bitui, and that actually will come up in the Masechet, we'll see, before the shvuat ha-dayanim, but it's brought here and not in Nidarim because of that connection and the associative property with the Qurban Ole V'yored. The Shvuat HaBitui is different than that of a Neder, where a Neder is Chal on an object, a Shvua is Chal on the Gavra, and whereas a Neder has to be Chal on something that has substance to it, a Shvua can be on something that is intangible in nature. So that's a difference in the nature of a Shvua versus a Neder. But Shvuat HaBitui is brought because of the other shvuot that are mentioned over here, and that's Shvuat HaEdut, and they're connected through the Qurban Ole V'yored. After that, there's also in the Parshiot that we find, Shvuat HaPikadon is also brought here. Shvuat HaShomrim is found back in Parshat Mishpatim, but obviously once we're dealing with all the shvuot that are brought in Beit Din, Shvuat HaShomrim is brought here as well, although the main sugyot were in Bava Metzia, and we covered those already in Bava Metzia. Because of the associative property, again, that we brought in from, first of all, Shavuot to deal with protocols of Beit Din, then we brought in Shavuot HaBitui, the Gemara then deals with the other two issues that are found in the Qurban Ole V'yored in Vayikra Hey, which includes where a person, while they are Tamei, either enters into the Mikdash or eats Kodesh. And so because of that, they are chayav korban, and the Gemara, because of the connection through the korban, also discusses this issue in the Masechet. There are other issues we're going to see in the first Mishnah that are enumerated over here because of their similarity in construct to that of Shavuot, but we will not explicate upon them here because they're found in other Masechtot. They have their own Masechtot, so we don't have to deal with them. Certain things that don't have their own Masechet, including Shavuot, which this is the Masechet, so we're going to see that, as well as this issue of Tumat HaMikdash V'Kodoshav, which doesn't have its own particular Masechet, that will be expounded upon, and we'll spend the first two Prakim on something that has nothing to do with Shavuot, but only connected through the Qurban Ole V'yored, which is the same punishment for an individual who takes a Shvuat HaEdut improperly or Shvuat HaBitui improperly. That is also the punishment for Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav. The one interesting difference between them is that with regards to certain Shvuot, there the violation of the Shvuah Bishogeg is what demands that you bring a Korban. And if you do it B'Mezid, then you wouldn't bring the Korban. You might get Malkot in certain instances. but you wouldn't bring a korban for something that's mezid. As opposed to the shvuot that we're going to see later in the Masechta, like shvuot ha'idut and the shvuot ha'pikadon, where there, only when you do it with mezid, are you the hachayav the korban. If you do it bishogeg, you are patur. So it turns out, ironically, that they have the opposite dinim in this matter, that the issues that we're dealing with here are typical korban issues, which is bishogeg. Somebody did something for their chayav korban. That's yudiyot ha'tumah. On the other hand, when we deal with shvuot, in the Masechta, it has just the opposite din, which is that only by cases of mezid, where the person intentionally does it, do they have to bring a korban, or they subject to the penalties, whereas if they did it bishogeg, they would not be subject to that. And then in between, we have shvuot habitui and other things that are similar to yudiyot ha'tumah, but are also called shvuot. So we will go through a transition in the Masechta. All these things we've learned out in the specific prokim that are found along the way. So with that little introduction, we're going to start now. Shvuot shtayim shehin arba. Shvuot are two that turn out to be four. This is a phraseology that's familiar to us from the beginning of Masechet Shabbat. And because of this phraseology, the Mishnah now brings down a number of items that are shtayim shehin arba, which is yidiyot ha'tumah shtayim shehin arba. The Yidiyot ha'tumah is also two that are four. Yitziyot ha'Shabbat are also shtayim shehin arba. And Marot Negaim shnayim shehin arba'a. They're also two that are four. So here you have four cases or four halachot that are brought in the Mishnah that have this commonality between them, which is the shtayim shehin arba. Which means that something is obvious or something's more explicit in the Torah. And as a derivative of that, we end up with two other items that are violations of that restriction. So Tosfot over here says, Hadalo patach chay masechet kol kinuyei shvuot kishvuot kitepatach binidarim binazir. If shvuot was similar to nazir nidarim, which it is, shvuot habitui is very similar to that, that's why it probably should have been found over there. Why does our Masechet not start the same way that those Masechtot started, which is kol kinuyei nidarim kinidarim and kol kinuyei nizirut kinizirut? You should have started this Masechet kol kinuyei shvuot kishvuot mishum detana mimakot kasolik, because the Masechet before this is not something you would expect in nazir or nidarim, but rather Masechet makot. The Gemara hutzrach liftoach b'shtayin shen arba. That's why it starts out with the issue of shtayin shen arba. Since it didn't open with that, it doesn't bother to come back and deal with that issue, and therefore that's subsumed in the Mishnah Nidarim, which says both Kinuyei Nidarim Kinidarim and Kinuyei Shvuot Kishvuot. Again, something you would have expected here, but it's not, because Shvuot is here not because of Shvuot, but it's found here because of the protocols that deal with Beit Din and not Shvuot Bitui. And that makes the Masechet a little less connected to Shavuot in general, and more connected to Nizikin and the issues of Masechet Nizikin. Then Tosfot says, well, if you're already going to bring down Shtayin Shen Arba, and we're going to deal in the first two prakim with Tumat Mikdash Ukdoshav, why doesn't the Mishnah open with that topic, which is Yidiyot HaTumah Shtayin Shehin Arba? And the answer is because the Masechet is Masechet Shavuot. And so Masechet Shvuot begins with Shtayim Shein Arba about Shvuot. Because of the associative properties that bring in all these different topics, they're trying to balance between why is it found here and why are these topics mentioned here at all. So Yidiyot ha'Tumah is mentioned because it's associated with the Korban Olevi Oreid. But on the other hand, the Masechet is found here not because of that, but because of Shvuot Ha'idut, and therefore Shvuot come first. So here we talk about Shvuot Bitui, because that's also connected through the Korban Oleh V'Yoreid. And so now if I put those pieces together, I get a Shvuot Bitui because it's associated with Shvuot Ha'idut. And then I have Yidiyot ha'Tumah because it's also associated with those two in the Korban. But if I have to think about how to start the Masechet, I'm going to start with Shvuot, even though it's not the Shvuot that is related to Nizikin. But nevertheless, I'm going to start with those Shvuot because at least topically it's connected in the nature of Shvuot. And then I'm also not going to go into great detail about Shvuot, like Kinuyei Shvuot. I'm going to give you a more generic sense of Shvuot. So here they're trying to give reason or understanding to why the Mishnah is ordered in the way that it is, and why the Masechet is found over here. He also notes that the other possibility is just if you look in the Psukim by Korban Avlo V'Yoreid, that the issue of Shvuah is brought up first, And then afterwards, the Yediot HaTumah. So just in the order of the Korban Olah V'Yareid, that would also be the order in the Mishnah. All right, so now let's explain each one of these items, which is Shvot Shtayim Shehein Arba, which is that the Shvot HaBitui can be manifest in four different ways. And that is what the Pasuk says, Lehara Ulehetiv, that a person takes a Shvot that is either negative or for his good. The way that Rashi explains it over here is that Lehara means Shime'anet Atzmo. He causes himself discomfort. And the Hetiv is that he does something that is positive for himself. So for instance, a person takes a shvuah not to eat, that is me'anet atzmo. That means that he's afflicting himself, he is doing something that is negatively correlated, but also that afflicts him or bothers him, and that is not eating. And then you have the hetiv, something that is for his good, which is that he takes a shvuah to eat, which is a positive side, both in terms of the formulation, as well as the fact that he will eat, which is also a positive thing for him. So that is the Harau Leitiv, which is the pasuk speaking about in the future. In the future, you're taking a shvua either to engage in something or to disengage from something, to desist from acting. So those are shtayim that are found in the pasuk, which is the Harau Leitiv. The Gemara will then darshan that it's not only applicable when it's tov and ra, it's even applicable when it's a positive or negative formulation. That just means I'm obligating myself to do something or I am obligating myself to desist from something. But those are the shtayim. Shehein Arba is the limud from the pasuk that we have shvuat bitui even retroactively, which means you could take a shvua about something that happened in the past. And that also has two manifestations, which is a shvua that something did happen or a shvua that something did not happen. Or for instance, a shvua that you did eat or a shvua that you did not eat. And that is shtayim shehein arba. There are two that are explicit in the pasuk, which is the ra leitiv, which are the future noted shvuot. And there are an additional two shvuot which relate to the past or that which has already happened. Those are learnt out from a riboy in the pasuk, but that you know from shvuot shtayim shehein arba, that they start out with two, which is what you would learn or be explicit in the pasuk. And then Chazal teach us that the pasuk embedded in it has additional shvuot that are connected to that. And those are the additional two shvuot that are the abar. Yediot HaTumah shtayim shehein arba. Again, the pasuk speaks about an instance in which the person forgets that they are tamei. The person becomes tamei, they forget that they were tamei, and then they either enter the mikdash or they eat kodesh while in that state of tumah. But that happened because they forgot that they were tamei. And that's the way the pasuk terms it, which is the person v'ne'alam mimenu, v'hu tamei, that he forgets the tumah and he is tamei. So he forgets that he is Tamei, he really is Tamei, but he forgets about it. So that's Shtayim. The two instances are where he forgets he's Tamei, he eats Kodesh, he forgets he's Tamei and enters the Mikdash. But you can have another two manifestations in that, in which is he remembers he's Tamei, but he forgets that he's eating Kodesh. Or he remembers he is Tamei, but he forgets or doesn't take note of the fact that he's entering into the Mikdash. So that again is Shtayim Shehein Arba. That the halama, instead of being the tumah, which is written explicitly in the Torah, because it says v'ne'elam mimenu v'hu tamei, so there is also an additional limud that v'ne'elam, which is that he forgets not only the tumah, but he also forgets the fact that he's entering to Kodesh or the Mikdash, but remembers he is tamei. So that again is shtayim shehein arba. And Tosafot points out that that's why over here it says yediot HaTumah and not halamot HaTumah, which is lashon pasuk. Because Yediyah is so central to this Avera over here, where there's a requirement of Yediyah B'Tchilah, which is not existent in other Averot, or is not a demand in other Averot. And according to those that say that it's speaking about the Yediyot afterwards, which aren't differentiated from the other Korbanot, then the reason that you use Yediyot over here and not by the other cases is because the other cases you can say the Melacha itself, Yitziot HaShabbat. So you can speak specifically about the Avera that is being abrogated, as opposed to by Yediot HaTumah, you couldn't say HaTumot. It has to be the Yediot HaTumah. You have to give some action. You can't say it's Tumot Shtayim Shehein Arba. There only are two types of Tumah, which is Tumah and then eating Kodesh, Tumah and entering the Mikdash. And then you couldn't say Shtayim Shehein Arba. And if we have to do Yediot, which is something that has four manifestations rather than two. So Tosfos was just explaining why they use the language of Yediot HaTumah and not Halamot HaTumah. Then we have Yitziot HaShabbat. Nesiot HaShabbat are Shtayim Shein Arba. The way that Rashi explains it over here is that you have two manifestations of Hotza'ah, and then you have two manifestations of Hachnasa. If you remember from the Mishnah in the beginning of Shabbat, we have a Balabait and an Ani. We have two individuals that are standing by the threshold of the doorway. One is in the Rishut HaYachid, and one is in the Rishut HaRabim. So over there, you can have two ways to do Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah means taking from the Rishut HaYachid out to the Rishut HaRabim. So that can happen either because the Balabait who's inside passes the object out to the Ani, or it could be that the Ani puts his hand in and takes out the object from the Rishut HaYachid into the Rishut HaRabim. So those are Shtayim. And then Rashi says, Shehein Arba, that they manifest themselves in four, which is that you can also have Hachnasa by each of the parties, that the Ani can pass something from where he is standing in to the Balabait, or the other way around, the Balabait can take something from the Ani and bring it into the house. So you have two that are Yitziyot, which are going from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim. Each party can do that, whether you're standing in the Rishut HaRabim or the Rishut HaYachid. And vice versa, you have a Hachnasa, which is taking from the Rishut HaRabim and bring it into the Rishut HaYachid. And then, again, it can be manifest in two places. One is when you're standing in Rishut HaRabim, one is standing in Rishut HaYachid. Those are the Shtayim Shehein Arba. Now, that is the way Rashi explains it. If you go back to the Mishnah in Shabbat, the Rishonim there themselves disagree about which are the two that are known and which are the two that are added on. You could argue that the two relate to the Balabait, which is a person standing in the Rishut HaYachid can both do Hotza'ah and Hachnasa over there. Shehein Arba are the two that relate to the Ani. The way that Rashi terms it over here is he says that it's Hotza'ah are the two that are known and Hachnasa are the two that we are adding in. And that is because he says over here that the pasuk in the Torah that they bring restricting Hotza'ah Mishut HaYachid Rishut HaRabim is based on the pasuk Vayitzav Moshe Ve'iru Kol B'Machaneh, and he told them to desist from bringing donations to the Mishkan, and that is from bringing from someone's personal property to the Rishut HaRabim. So he sees that as being the explicit terminology in the pasuk, and therefore Hotza'ah is known in the Torah through the pesukim, and then the Hachnasa is the Shtayim Shein Arba, which is the derivative of Hotza'ah, just like there's a problem logically to take from what is Rishut HaYachid into Rishut HaRabim, so too the same logic applies to take it from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid. And so therefore, Hotza'ah is the explicit term, and Hachnasa is the derivative term, and that's why it's Shtayim Shein Arba. Now, the Balei Tosafot over here asks, V'teima, Amai Chashiv Dani Ud Balabait Bitarte. Why are the Ani and Balabait considered to be two different individuals? The Mali Ani or Mali Balabait? Why should it make a difference whether you're inside or outside if you perform the Hotza'ah? Or you're inside or outside and you perform the Hachnasa? And that way you'd only have two cases. One case is a case of Hotza'ah, one's a case of Hachnasa, irrespective of where you're standing. Why is there a reason to differentiate between them? He says, V'yesh lomar de'itzrech le'mitnin hu mishom de'kasak ha'datcho. De'lo havi derech Hotza'ah might be that you would think Hotza'ah only applies when you're in the Rishut HaYachid and you take something from the Rishut HaYachid out to the Rishut HaRabim. That I would have thought that only when you are in the location from which you are trying to move the property and then you move it out of that location into the new location, that's where you're going to be chayav, because it's derech Hotza'ah. That's a normal way to do Hotza'ah. But if you're standing in the place where there's the destination of the object, maybe that's not called Hotza'ah, when you're bringing the object to you rather than you moving the object out. And that's why we have to divide it up and tell us that each one of these items in particular you are chayav for. This leads the Balei Tosafot to then mention the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam in Masechet Shabbat is that Hotza'ah hi melacha gru'ah. That Hotza'ah is not a real melacha. All the other of the 38 melachot are real melachot. Hotza'ah is a quasi-melacha. And you can see that in the way that the Mishnah is structured by the accounting of the melachot. You have Sidra de Pat, and then you have the Sidra de Shechita, and then at the end you have the Hotza'ah. Hotza'ah is its own thing. Now, interesting enough, that takes up a large part of Masechet Shabbat is about Hotza'ah, which ironically today, because of the advent of Eruvin in all the cities, has actually become something that some children don't even know, that you can't carry on Shabbat. But you see the primacy of the issue of carrying on Shabbat and how much it affects a person's life when Hotza'ah is restricted. So it's interesting that Rabbeinu Tam says that Hotza'ah is a malacha grua, despite the fact that the Masechet spends the majority of its time dealing with that malacha, and seems to present that as the primary halakha to deal with. That's what it opens the Masechet with. And anything that the Gemara opens the Masechet with, you have to ask yourself, that's the Hakdama. That's the introduction to the Masechet. Which means that the Chazal saw Hotza'ah as being a key element of Shabbat. And we discussed that in our introduction to Shabbat, Masechet Shabbat. That is one of the differentiating factors between Shabbat and Yom Tov, which also changes the Ofi of Shabbat and Yom Tov. And therefore, there are those that believe that Hotza'ah is a primary malacha, and like all others. But the Rabbeinu Tam has a shita that it is a malacha grua, and that's why he says that throughout Masechet Shabbat, the Gemara always asks a question as to how do you know this Hotza'ah is restricted? How do you know this Hachnasah is restricted? Any other malacha, we find its derivation from the fact that it was in the Mishkan, and that's sufficient grounds to say that you're chayav for it. Once we know that, we will then give all derivatives, which means that all the toladot or anything associated with that malacha, we would assume you're chayav. We don't ask for a pasuk, we don't ask for proof. Then when it comes to Hotza'ah, the Gemara, every time it wants to know if this is or isn't Hotza'ah, is this or isn't it part of Hachnasah, it asks for a pasuk or a proof, mikra. What's the pasuk that says that? And that's the Rabbeinu Tam's proof to the fact that it's a malacha grua. Because if it was a real full-fledged malacha, you could just take derivatives or anything associated with it would be considered to be chayat. The fact that we need derivations for every single manifestation shows you that it is a malacha grua. And that's why the Gemara asks for either examples of it being done in the Mishkan, a pasuk that indicates it, or some logical argument that says that they should be equated. But without that, we would not include those malachot, and that's why he calls it a malacha grua, and that's why he thinks also over here, the Mishnah needs to explicate on every single instance of Hotza'ah. It's not a given, just because one is Hotza'ah that the other would be Hotza'ah because it is a malacha grua, and that's how he answers the question of the Baalei Tosafot, why do you need the Ani and the Baal Bayit to be separate? Because every manifestation you have to query as to what is the source for that, or is that really something you are chayav for? Over here it uses the male conjugation and not the female conjugation as opposed to the other three cases, because over here it's focused not on the marot but on the nigayim. Nega is lashon zachar, and so therefore it says shnayim shein arba, as opposed to shvuot, yitziot, and yidiot of the tumah, which are all in the female conjugation. So now marot nigayim are that the Torah actually tells us that there are two types of nigaim that are problematic. Pasuk says, Adam kiye be'or b'saro se'eto sapachat o baheret. So there you have three words there that are describing the type of nega that is considered to be tameh. Within that, two of those are mar'ot nigaim, which are the se'et and the baheret, and they have different types of white, which the Gemara will tell us or explain to us. But then you have sapachat. Now sapachat is not a different type of nega, but it's what the word means in modern Hebrew today. A sapach is an addition or something added on. It's a addendum, putting a contract. They put a sapach at the end, means the addendum to the contract, or it's the afterword of a book. So here the sapach also means the same thing, which is it is a derivative of the se'et and the beheret. And so that's how the Mishnah knows over here. You have two negaim that are mentioned explicitly, which are a se'et and a beheret. And then you have the sapachat, which is the derivative of the se'et and the beheret, which means that not only are these considered to be tamei, but they have a tolada. They have some sort of derivative color of white that is also considered to be a nega tamei. And then that's what we'll see. There is se'et with its sapachat, and then you have beheret with its sapachat, and that's how you get shtayim shehein arba. So those are the Shtayim Shein Arba that are mentioned, the four cases over here. And again, the Gemara will deal with each one of them in a small way, but Yediot HaTumah will become a big topic, and now we'll see that with the remainder of the Mishnah, because it has no other Masechet in Shas, and so that's why it's going to be explicated on here, and that's going to be the next two Prakim we're going to spend on what we're about to see here in the Mishnah, which is Et Sheyeshba Yediyah B'Tchila, something by which someone knew in the beginning that they were tamei, v'diyah basof, and they also know in the end that they were tmeim, v'heilam ben taim, and in between they forgot that they were tmeim, This is the classic case of the korban that is brought in by Yikrahei of the korban olevi orei, where you're going to be chayav to bring such a korban, similar to a chatat that is brought in any other shogeg. The requirement is that you have at least some yediyah in the beginning, which is you have some knowledge that this is wrong. Then you do with that thing that is wrong, and then afterwards you realize that you did that something is wrong. So the he'elam, ne'elam, he forgot in the interim. That's what causes this shogeg, and it's considered to be a shogeg and not an onesis because he forgot. Awareness has to do with a person's emphasis on the importance of the item. If you think something is important, you're not going to forget about it. If you don't think it's important, then it slips your mind. And so therefore you're classified as a shogeg and not an ones because of the fact that you forgot and you didn't give the right consideration to that matter. Again, we gave the example when we discussed it before, for instance, on Shabbat. Someone who makes a mistake and, for instance, turns on a light or does some halacha on Shabbat, yes, they are a shogeg, but they're not an ones because it means that the awareness of Shabbat is somehow deficient. And that causes you even to do something that is by rote, that you every day turn on the light, but that means that you just aren't thinking about Shabbat in the forefront of your mind. And similarly over here, that's the same problem, and that's why you're going to bring a korban olevi orei when you forget in between. But it has to be that you knew, forgot, and then you knew again. Yesh ba yediya b'tchila, vein ba yediya b'sof. If you knew in the beginning there was a problem, but you didn't know about it at the end, meaning that you knew there was a problem with tumar, that you were tamei, and then you forgot about the fact that you were tamei, entered the mikdash, ate kodesh, but then ain ba yediya b'sof, you never find out that you did it wrong. You never come to that realization. Seir and Aseh Bifnim, V'yom HaKippurim, Toleh, those two items take care of you, provide you with protection, which is you have the Korban of Yom Kippur, the Seir Bifnim, that's done in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, and Yom Kippur itself are Toleh. Toleh is a terminology that's found by Korbanot and punishments, which is it suspends the punishment. Doesn't mean that you're done. Doesn't mean that you're cleansed of whatever Aveira it is. It means that it suspends it in the meantime, or suspends the punishment, but you haven't been cleared of the Aveira, similar to an Asham Taloi. The purpose of an Asham Taloi is to, when you have a Safek, to suspend the punishment until you figure out what happened. And similarly over here, that is what Toled does, is that it suspends it. Rashi explains over here, Shekola Shogagim Tzrichim Kapara L'Kishiyedu. Every one of these Shogagim needs a Kapara once you become aware of it. Alma Kodim Yediya Anushimhei. That teaches you that until that point in time, you can be punished. The fact that you need kapara is indicative of the fact that until then, you are liable. So you need to protect yourself against that liability. And that's why you either, b'safek, bring an asham toloi, or here you have the seir aseh bifnim, or yom ha-kippurim, protecting you in the interim. Now, this is the only case where that will happen in the Mishnah, and that's because here you had a yediyah b'tchila. You knew about it originally, forgot, and now all you're missing is the yediyah b'sof. And that means that once you have the yediyah b'sof, you can bring the korban. Then you'll qualify for a korban olevi orei. All the other examples that are brought in the Mishnah are deficient in that way. They don't have a yediyah b'tchila, which means you'll never, ever be able to bring a korban olevi orei. Because you're missing something that's fundamental to the korban olevi orei. And that's why in the remainder of the cases, the korbanot that are brought that give kapara for this give full kapara. This is the only case where it's toleh, because there is a possibility of you having to bring the korban that you are obligated in. And just like any other shogeg, if you pass through Yom HaKippurim, doesn't mean you're patur from the korban. Person ate chalev, and then they find out about it after Yom HaKippurim, just because they passed through Yom Kippur, doesn't mean they don't bring the korban chatat for eating chalev b'shogeg. Yom Kippur can be toleh in those situations, where you can only attain the kapara by bringing the korban. If there's no manifestation or no possibility of you bringing the korban, then Yom Kippur or the other korbanot we're going to see here can provide you with a full kapara, because you don't have any other alternative. This is the kapara for this item. So that's the next case, which is ein ba yediyah b'tchila, if you don't know about it in the beginning, ava yesh ba yediyah b'sof, but you know about it in the end. So here's a case where you can never bring a korban olevi orei because you didn't know about the tumah up front. You either were not aware of the fact that you became tamei, or you were unaware of the fact that Tumah is a problem. But either way, you can't now bring a Korban Olevi Yoreid because you're missing something fundamental to the ability to bring a Korban Olevi Yoreid. But in the end, you find out that you did this violation, you did something wrong, or that you were Tameh. Seir HaNaseh B'chutz, V'yom HaKippurim, Mechaper. Over here, the Seir that is done outside, as well as Yom Kippur, are Mechaper, Shenemar, Milvad Chatat HaKippurim. It says, aside from the Chatat HaKippurim, Azmash Zeh Mechaper, Zeh Mechaper. The same way that the Seir HaMifnim takes care of Tumat Migdash V'Kodoshav, so too, the Seir Bachutz also takes care of Tumat Migdash V'Kodoshav. So on Yom Kippur, there are a number of Seirim that are brought. There is the Seir Bifnim, which is the Seir that blood is brought into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. That is, and we'll see in a second, parallel with the Par of the Kohen that's also brought in Bifnim, and the same things are done with both of them. That's a Par Naseh Bifnim, and the Seir Naseh Bifnim. There's also a Seir La'azazel, which is sent out to be thrown off. And then there's also what we know as a Seir Bachutz, Parsha Pinchas by the Musafim, which is the Seir L'chatat that is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, like any other Chatat that is brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, which are the Sirei, we're going to see in second Regalim, and the Sirei Rosh HaChodashim, where those are Sirei Chatat that are brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So what the Mishnah is saying, that there is a correlation between them because of Milvat Chatat HaPipurim. The fact that it says, aside from the Chatat HaKippurim, you have to bring this Seir, tells you that there's some connection between the two Seirim. That connection is the Kapara that they provide. Amash Zeh Mechaber, Zeh Mechaber. Ma Pnimi, Ein Mechaber, Ela Davar Sheyesh Ba Yediya. Af HaChitzon, Ein Mechaber, Ela Davar Sheyesh Ba Yediya. Just like the Seir Bifnim only deals with a case where there is some knowledge, so too the Seir HaChitzon deals with something that has some knowledge. But the difference is when that knowledge became available. The Seir Bifnim deals with something where you had knowledge beforehand, whereas the Seir Bachutz deals with something where you only have the knowledge afterwards. So just like the Seir Bifnim provides kapara for Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav, so too the Seir Bachutz provides a similar type of kapara. But in this instance, it will provide the full kapara, and not just bitoleh, because there is no way you'll ever get to a korban oleh biyoreid. Al she'im ba'yidia lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. What happens if a person never knows? They either never knew that it's problematic with the Tumah, or they never knew they became Tameh, and they never become aware of the fact that they were Tameh. What provides them with that Kapara? So that is Seirei Regalim v'Seirei Roshei Chodashim Mechaprim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says that the Seirei Chatat that are brought with the Musafim of the Regal, as well as the Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, that is Mechaper on this issue where there is no Diriya B'Tchila and no Yediya B'Sof. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sirim HaRigalim Mechaprim. That's right, the Sirim HaRigalim do what you're saying about low Sirim Roshei Chodeshim. If they are different, meaning that there's Rosh Chodesh versus the Regel, then they should also have a different Kapara that is associated with them. She says, you're right about the Sirim HaRigal that they provide Kapara when you don't have a Yediyah B'Tchila and don't have a Yediyah B'Sof. But as far as Sirim Roshei Chodeshim, Alma Sirim Roshei Chodeshim Mechaprim, what do they deal with? Al tahor sha'achal et tamei. That is someone who doesn't have tumat guf, which are the cases that we're speaking about. All the korbanot oleh biyoreid, all these things here are a case where the person becomes tamei, and then he's engaging in kodesh or entering the mikdash. This is the opposite case, a case where the individual is tahor, but the item, the kodesh, is tamei. That does not have a chiyuv karet associated with it. We just did this in Masechet Makot, that is only karet associated with someone who has tumat guf. Something where the object has tumas rasir, but the person is tahor, there's a lav, but not karet. And that's what Rashi notes over here, that despite the fact that there is no karet over here, there's still kapara given through the sirei roshei chodeshim. So that makes it unusual, because generally a korban shugay comes because of an issue of karet. That generally we have a chatat or korban chatat, or with averot that have a karet associated with them when they're done b'mezid. So here he says that even though this is only a lav, nevertheless, the Sirei Roshei Chodeshim provides you with kapara for a case where the person was tahor and ate that which was tamei. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol asirim kaparatan shaveh. So Rabbi Meir says, you're right, all the korbanot or the sirim here deal with the issue of tumat, mikdash, v'kodoshav. But they don't have distinctions between them like you're making. They are all equal, which means that they all provide kapara, whether yediyah b'sof, ein yediyah b'tchila, or ein yediyah lo b'tchila b'lo b'sof, all of them are covered by these se'irim. Now, as Rashi points out over here, all the se'irim provide the same kapara, which is the se'irei regalim, the se'irei rosh chodesh, and the se'ir anaseh b'chutz on Yom Kippur, They all provide the same kapara. That means no matter whether there was a yediyah basof, whether it was a no diyah b'tchila v'lo yediyah basof, or the case of tohor she'achala tatameh. The one exception, as Rashi notes over here for Rabbi Meir, is aseir naseh bifnim. The seir naseh bifnim is mechaper on things that had a yediyah b'tchila, but no yediyah basof. And that's because it doesn't really provide kapara, it only provides tliyah. It defers or provides a defense against the punishment that could have come had you not had that tliyah, but it doesn't provide kapara. So the nature of the seir naseh bifnim is different than all the other seirim which are providing kapara. So even Rabbi Meir agrees that the seir naseh bifnim has its own unique purpose, which is to deal with the case where there's yediyah b'tchilah ve'lo yediyah b'sof. Whereas all the other Sirim, where he equates them, deal with all the other manifestations where you can't end up bringing a korban or levi, right? They're providing kapara and not tliyah. So then Rabbi Shimon Omer, so even though we already had Rabbi Shimon before in the Mishnah, and we know what his opinion is, nevertheless, the Mishnah brings it again because of the question that's going to be asked by Rabbi Meir on Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Sirei Roshei Chodeshim Mechaprim HaTohor Shechalat HaTameh, which we just saw, because he says Sirei Roshei Chodeshim are different, and therefore they take care of the case where Tohor ate Tameh. Shel Regalim Mechaprim HaShem Ba'yidiyah Lo B'tchila B'lo B'sof. Again, we just saw that. The Regalim, or Sirei Chatat, the Regalim take care of where there's no Yidiyah, not in the beginning, not in the end. Sheyom HaKippurim Mechaper HaShem Ba'yidiyah B'tchila, Ava Yesha Ba'yidiyah B'sof. And the Seher HaNaseh B'chutz, on Yom Kippur, takes care of a case where there's no Yidiyah in the beginning, but only Yidiyah B'sof. Amrulo, now the Amrulo over here is not everybody, it's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Shimon, Ma'osh Yikrivu Zebazeh. Can you exchange the korbanoi chata'ot that are associated with the musafim between these different days? So the example Rashi brings over here, that the Seir and Aseh B'chutz on Yom Kippur got lost. They were mafrish a din korban in order to replace it. And later on they find that Seir Chata'at of Yom Kippur. Can then they use that on one of the regalim upcoming on Sukkot? Can they use it as the Seir for the musafim on Sukkot? Or can they even use it maybe for the Seir on Rosh Chodesh? How interchangeable are these Seirei Chata'at? On the other hand, Yikrivu, they can be brought, that you have a right to put them on the Mizbeach. Amrulo, they said to Rabbi Shimon, oh, ve'ein kapratan shaveh, heyech krevim ze bazeh. If they don't provide the same kapara, how are they interchangeable? So Rabbi Meir is basically saying, bishlama to me, where I say, oh, kaparatan shaveh, then I can also say that they are interchangeable. And therefore, if you use it for one or don't need it for the other, you bring it to the other holiday or the other time that you need it. But for you, Rabbi Shimon, who says that they don't provide the same kapara, how can the seir b'chutz on Yom Kippur be used on a regel when it provides a different kapara on Rosh Chodesh? So he responds to them, Amar Lahem, Kulan Baim Nechaper al Tumat Mikdash Ukadoshov. The answer to that is because they all provide a common denominator between them, which is, topically, they're all in the same category of Tumat Mikdash Ukadoshov. You're right. The particular kapara that is associated with them is different, but the generic topic or area of sin that they deal with is the same, and therefore they can be interchanged. Over here, Rashi notes, the way that he writes is, V'nitchapru b'acher v'nimtza zeberegel o b'rosh chodesh, ma'u shiakriv lechem siro shel yom. So Rashi says the question is about how can you move it around, meaning can you literally move it from Yom Kippur to the regel to Rosh Chodesh, that they are completely interchangeable. If you look in the Balei Tosafot and Daf Yud at the bottom left, it says over there, ma'u shiakrivu zebezeh. That's what over there asks about this assumption of the Gemara. He says that it's a given here in the Mishnah that you can bring one regel for another regel, or for one Rosh Chodesh on another Rosh Chodesh. The only question is mixing and matching, and that's what Rashi discusses over here. Balei Tosfot asks, why is that a given that you can move it from one regel to the other, or one Rosh Chodesh to the other? And there nobody has any questions since they provide the same kapara. Yet in the Gemara in Zvachim, it seems that when you're mafrish or korban for particular aveirot, it is associated with those aveirot, and only covers those aveirot that were before the hafrashat korban. Anything that is prospective after the hafrashat korban doesn't take care of. So now if you postpone bringing this korban from one regel to the next, from one Rosh Chodesh to the next, it only covers those things that were prior to the first regel or the first Rosh Chodesh. Doesn't capture things between that regel and the next regel, or this Rosh Chodesh and the next Rosh Chodesh. So how can you bring that as a korban and say no problem switching them from one to the other? Those would suggest that over here, since it was lost in the interim, and that's why they had to bring a different korban, ne'ekar hafrashato. It's as if you dismissed, nullified the original hafrasha, which was particular avirot, and then when you reinstate it at the next Rosh Chodesh or the next regel, it's as if you're doing a new hafrasha, which will capture all the avirot up until that point. And for that reason, he says that the Gemara is copacetic with the fact that you would change it from regel to regel or Rosh Chodesh to Rosh Chodesh, and only as a question when you're switching between them as to whether when it provides a different kapara, you could do such a thing. And Tosafot distinguishes that from cases where there are two korbanot that are separated together, where one is talui and the other. Because in those cases, you can't just say that once one is lost, the other one drops out, because they were mufresh together, and therefore the second one's hafrasha still is intact, even though you've lost the first one, and that presents a problem by kivsei atzeret, and other areas where there are pairs of korbanot that are separated out. But that's how Tosafot deals with this issue. Now the Mishnah has almost a repeat, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer Mishmo. Mishmo means Mishmo shel Rabbi Shimon. Stam Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And so over here you have Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda saying over the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Shzirei Roshei Chodeshim Mechaprim al Tor, Shachalat Tamei, which is similar to what we saw in Rabbi Shimon Shita before. But then he says that incrementally, each one of the Seirim includes the previous issue, which is Mosif Alehem Shel Regalim. The Regalim add on that, Shemechaprim al Tor, Shachalat Tamei. They get what the Seirish Chodesh does. In addition to that, they also cover the case of when there's no Yediyah B'tchilah B'sof. Mosif Alehem Shel Yom HaKippurim. Again, it is an upgrade. The Seir Naseh B'chutz on Yom Kippur has an additional kapara that it provides. That means that it captures both Tahor Shachalat Tamei and it's Mechaper on She'in La Yediyah Lo B'tchilah V'lo B'sof. And in addition to that, it's mechaper b'ashem b'yidiyah b'tchila, aval yesh b'yidiyah b'sof. So it adds on an additional kapara. So he says that each one of these sirei chatat incrementally adds on an additional kapara because it is a, call it a higher form of seir. Sirei chodesh being the lowest, the regalim being the next, and then yom kippur being the highest form of the seir chatat, and therefore it's adding on kapara as it moves. Amrulo, so again, Rabbi Meir poses the same question to him, maushi ikrivu zeh b'zeh. How about exchanging them between them? If one of them gets lost or you can't bring it on that day, can you bring it on a different Rosh Chodesh regel? Amar lehen, hey, he says yes. Amar lo, im kein yusha yom kippurim kevin b'yoshei chodeshim. I understand why the Seir of Yom Kippur can be brought on Rosh Chodesh because it's subsumed in the Seir of Yom Kippur. It's also the kapara of Rosh Chodesh. V'heyach shel Rosh Chodeshim kevin b'yom kippurim. How could it be the opposite way around? If you have the Rosh Chodesh, it only deals with one issue. And the one on Yom Kippur deals with three issues. How could you upgrade it to do the kapara of Yom Kippurim? The chaper kapara she'en ashalah. How can it provide kapara that's not associated with that particular chatat? Amar lahem, so he responds to them, kulam ba'im, the chaper utumat mikdash v'kodoshav. Again, it tells you the same answer, which is, topically, they are related. They are in the same category of korbanot, and therefore they can provide that kapara even when they're exchanged. It's not like you're taking it from chelev to dam to other topics. It's one topic. Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav is just different manifestations of it, and therefore you can exchange the korbanot. V'alzadon Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav, when it comes to intentional violation of Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav, Seir Naseh Bifnim v'Yom HaKippurim Mechaprim. The Seir that is done inside, and Yom Kippur provide kapara. So over here, it's the same Seir Naseh Bifnim and Yom Kippur that by the case of Shogeg was Toleh. The reason by the case of Shogeg it's Toleh is because you have an opportunity where if you have a Diyah B'Sof, you're going to bring a Korban Oleh V'Yoreh. So all Yom Kippur and the Seir Naseh Bifnim do is Toleh. They suspend the sentence until you bring the Korban. But the case of Mezid, where you do it intentionally, there is no protocol in the Torah for you to gain Kapara. That means now you're relegated to the normal forms of Kapara, which is Tshuva and Yom HaKippurim. And that's what it says here. The Seir Naseh Bifnim and Yom Kippur are mechaper on Tumat Mikdash V'Kodeshav that were done intentionally. And here again you see that with regards to Yediyot HaTumah, that it's only B'Shogeg that you bring the Korban, not B'Mezid. I told you later on the Masechta, this will flip on itself and we'll find issues where the Korbanot only brought B'Mezid and not B'Shogeg. But here we're talking about the classic types of Korbanot that only brought B'Shogeg, and that's true of Yediyot HaTumah. Ashar V'Yot Shebetorah, the remainder of the avirot in the Torah, which is akalot v'chamurot, whether they are light variations of violations or severe violations, hazgonot veshgogot, intentional or unintentional, hoda velo hoda, whether they were known or not known. Over here, hoda velo hoda, it's not similar to the idea that we had before, whether you knew about the tumah beforehand or you didn't know about the tumah beforehand. Here the hoda velo hoda means whether the person's aware of the fact that they violated the avira, whether they're not aware of the fact that they violated the avira. Different than the idea that we were speaking about before, which is knowledge of the fact that this is a violation and that you are tameh. Here it's not about whether you even have any awareness or idea of the fact that you violated an avera or you're not. And obviously, if you do know you violated the avera, then you have to do whatever is demanded of you in the Torah. And so what the Gemara is going to say is that hoda elav over here means that he's aware of a safek or some uncertainty that is associated with this avera, and that Yom Kippur can be toleh in those situations. Asay velo tasay, whether it is a positive or negative commandment, kretot umitot beitin, whether it is karet or something that is subject to a punishment of beitin, seir mishtaleach michaper, the seir mishtaleach provides kapara, echad israelim ve'achad kohanim ve'achad kohen mashuach. It doesn't matter as to whom in Bnei Yisrael we're speaking about, whether it's israelim, kohanim, or the kohen gadol himself. All of them are provided kapara for these other items through the Seir HaMishtaleach. Now, Ma Ben Yisraelim LeKohanim, LeKohen Mashuach, what's the difference in Yisraelim and Kohen Gadol and the other Kohanim? Ela Shapar Mechaper LeKohanim, Altumat Mikdash VeKodoshav. So the difference between them is with regards to what is done Bifnim. When you look at the Seir, there's a Seir HaNaseh Bifnim and a Seir HaMishtaleach. The Seir HaNaseh Bifnim takes care of Tumat Mikdash VeKodoshav for the Yisraelim. The para sebifnim takes care of tumat mikdash v'kodeshav for the kohenim and the kohen gadol. And Rashi has over here that the para of the kohen gadol also is mechaper on the seir on sebachutz, which is not muchrach from the Mishnah itself. All that is being said by the Mishnah is that fact that the para of the kohen gadol does what the seir on the sebifnim does. Rashi goes to include also the seir bachutz is also subsumed under the kapara of the par on the sebifnim, which basically says anything associated with Yom Kippur, the Seirim deal with Klal Yisrael, and the Par deals with the Kohanim. But as far as all other Veirot, there's no Par HaMishtaleach. There's only one Seir HaMishtaleach. So in the Seir HaMishtaleach, they have joint Kapara. Everybody's included in that. The Par Bifnim and the Seir Bifnim, they deal with the two tracks. The Seir Bifnim deals with the track of Yisrael, and the Par Bifnim deals with the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kishem shedama seir nase bifnim mechaper al Yisrael, kach dama par mechaper al kohanim. Ushugem sheviduyav shel seir mishtaleach mechaper al Yisrael, kach viduyav shel par mechaper al kohanim. So too, the viduys now work in the same way. So what they're referencing to here is in Parshat Achrimot, there's a requirement that the Kohen Gadol brings a par lechatat v'ayol le'ola. And that par l'chatat is a par naseh bifnim. On the par, which is done bifnim, he does a vidui. He does that twice. It says, v'chiper ba'do v'ad beito. And Chazal tell us, the first one is for him and literally his beito mishpachto. And the second one is for him and all of his family, his greater family, the Kohanim. So the vidui on the par are associated with the Kohanim. There's another vidui which is done on the seir, hamishtaleach. And that vidui is for all the averot of Klal Yisrael. So the question is, the vidui on the par, what is it related to? And what Rabbi Shimon says is that you have damim here, and you have viduim here. And what I want to say is that the damim equate with each other, and the viduim equate with each other, which means that everybody agrees to this, that the seir haneseh bifnim, which is the dam that is brought into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, on the Mizbeach HaZav, in the Kodesh, all those matnot deal with Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav, for Israel. And similarly for the Kohanim, the par, which has the same protocol in terms of putting the blood in the Kodesh HaKodeshim, in the Kodesh, on the Mizbeach HaZav, that also deals with Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav for the Kohanim. Then, when we look at the Seir HaMishtaleach, which has a vidui on it, the vidui is what takes care of the Averot, aside from Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav for all of Klal Yisrael. And similarly, by the par, there's a vidui on the par. By the seir, it's two different seirim. There's a seir bifnim and a seir mishta leach. By the par, it's the same par. The par that you do the vidui on, it's the same par that you bring the dam bifnim. So the par bifnim also has the vidui on it. But Rabbi Shimon says is the point of that vidui is to simulate the vidui that you have on the Seir HaMishtaleach. And therefore, just like the vidui on the Seir HaMishtaleach takes care of Klal Yisrael, the vidui on the Par takes care of the Kohanim and the Kohen Gadol in terms of other Averot. And then the Dam that goes Bifnim is what takes care of Tumat Mikdash for Kodeshav, respectively, the Seir for the Yisrael and the Par for the Kohanim. Now, that's the view of Rabbi Shimon. You can understand why he's doing that. Why Rabbi Meir would disagree with that, why would the Tanna Kamma disagree with that, is because, exactly what I noted before, by the Seirim, there are two physical animals that are used, one that goes Bifnim, one that goes out. By the Par, it's only one and it goes Bifnim. So to argue that it simulates the effect of the Seir Mishtaleach, despite the fact that there's a Vidur there, why should it simulate the Seir Mishtaleach if it doesn't have something that's Mishtaleach? It's not a separate Par. And then you could argue that the vidui then with the par is associated with the fact that the Kohanim do their avoda in the Mikdash. They're the ones who are always involved in Mikdash v'kodoshav. So they have additional issues in terms of Tumah vis-a-vis Kodesh and Mikdash. And so therefore they need a vidui because of their job description that puts them in the line of fire all the time for these issues. So you could argue that the vidui there is associated with Tumat Mikdash v'Kodeshav, and it's particular to the Kohanim. Or you could argue the vidui helps the Kohanim, but despite the fact that the vidui helps the Kohanim, they still only gain their kapara through the Seir HaMishtaleach. So those are two different ways you could argue on Rabbi Shimon's position over here, but Rabbi Shimon equates them and says vidui equals vidui, dam equals dam. Okay, we're going to stop here by the end of the Mishnah on Bet Amud Bet.